It's good to be in the house of the Lord, like I said. Good to be among you tonight. Thank all of those that allowed this to take place. Thank you, Pastor Chandler. Boy, I get used to saying that. That's a little different, isn't it? Really appreciate him, though, and the messages that I've heard him deliver since he's been here as our pastor. Look forward to seeing him here full time. Hallelujah. Of course, appreciate Brother and Sister Cox as well, and wish them well and as they pursue a new part of their life. You know, one thing that happens to all of us, he mentioned being around 10-year-olds. Hey, it's great to be around the 70-year-olds too. Huh? You know, okay, you know. You should live so long to get there, right? All righty. Well, appreciate God's goodness and his blessings and all the way that he works and moves. God knows exactly where we are. He knows exactly what your needs are and what my needs are. Because he is an all-knowing God, and he does know the end from the very beginning. Always has known. God doesn't get surprised. So we thank him that he does care about us, and he has made a way so that you and I can come and know the truth. There are some responsibilities along the way for us, though. And we need to reevaluate where we are once in a while just to see, are we really paying attention to what God would desire of us? Now, we hear the word of the Lord. Now, we have service on Wednesday night. We have service on Sunday morning. And there's a ton of other messages out there if you want to spend time listening to them. But I want to ask you tonight, are you really listening and paying attention to what you're hearing? It is very easy to get into a state where you just participate, even maybe a little bit or maybe a whole lot. But we each and every one of us have a responsibility to ourselves. Because by the way, who's going to save you? Jesus is going to save you, and what else plays into that? Is your wife going to save you? You may not even have a wife. Is your husband going to save you? Is mama going to save you? Is daddy going to save you? Is your child going to save you? No. We are all, each and every one of us, are to work out our own salvation, as lackadaisical as that might be. No, we're supposed to do it with fear and with trembling because eternity depends upon it. And God does not intend to make the way hard. Our flesh is what makes the way hard. But if we will keep ourselves and allow God to move and to touch us, then we will find ourselves in his will. Hallelujah. I want to turn to our text tonight, and I would invite you to stand as we read that. It's coming out of Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 24. I want to read four verses in your hearing today. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse number 24, and it says, Therefore, whosoever heareth the sayings of mine, what's the next three words? And doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. It makes a difference on what kind of foundation we have. You know, living by the seaside can look awfully pretty when the sun is shining and the weather is nice. But I tell you what, when them storms arise and the hurricanes come and everything else that can happen out there, it's not a very pretty place to be. Neither is it safe about anywhere you want to go. The only place that is safe is where? In the house of God. That's the only set thing that we have in our world today. Hallelujah. And the name of my title or my message tonight is, it's a time to dig a little deeper. It's time to dig a little deeper. Hallelujah. Let's pray, and then you may be seated. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you today for your word and for your truth and for your amazing grace to each and every one of us. Now, Lord, let your word speak to us and help us to be that vessel that you desire, that we may be built upon a firm foundation and know that we can survive and will thrive in your presence as we allow you to lead and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. You know, we do live in turbulent times. I don't know how many of you want to be living out, where is it, Kansas now, that all the floods are coming on the Mississippi and all the rest of that? All the tornadoes that's going through? You know, that can be a little earth-shaking. Well, it is earth-shaking, isn't it? It can be a little human-shaking, too, if that was one of your homes or one of my homes or have family out there. But, you know, we live in times when you just don't know what's going to happen next. You know, we talk about the weather because we know nobody can control that. You and I can't control it. Fortunately, no other human can control it. But we do know that we do have a God who can take care of us in the midst of all those trials that come naturally, and that he will take care of his own. Now, it may not happen just exactly like we want it to happen, but hey, God knows all things, and he has a reason for all things. And whenever he wants his will done, guess what? It's going to be done. And we just need to be open and receptive to his plan and his will for our lives. So we find in our text here tonight, and it's interesting because I'm talking about digging a little deeper, and you don't dig into rocks very well, do you? But we'll get to that here in just a minute. But I tell you what, when I was growing up, I lived on a farm, and that was in West Central Indiana, so it's not too much different from up here. But I tell you, things were a lot different back there whenever planting season came around. And I tell you all this because, you know, I'm sure the farmers are a little concerned right now. You know, I tell you what, I never did spend May 30th on anything but on a tractor planting corn unless it was pouring down rain that day. We were always planting out there that day. We'd already been over the ground three times before we got to the planting part of it. Used to have to take the plows out there and plow the ground, and then you disc it down, and then you go through, get ready to plant, you disc it again, pulling a Harrier or cul-de-packer or whatever you had behind to kind of smooth things out. So when the planter comes along, it would have a nice flat surface to put the seed in and get the right depth and everything. So everything worked out all well. It isn't like today where they pull in with a planter and they pour out 4 hours later and they just planted 60 acres. I don't understand that. That's a foreign world to me. But I tell you all that because, you know, time comes along, things change to accommodate, you know, the world that we're living in a lot of ways. Farming's different today. They wouldn't survive if they did it the way we did it. I said 50, right? It's been a little longer than that, too, so. I don't look any different, though. I'm just a little taller than I was when I was real young. Okay. But I tell you, God has a way of working all things. Back then, things worked out. Today, things will work out again. God will take care of it, and he will make sure it's all right. One of the things that we do control is what our eternal destiny is going to be. You know, and a lot of times we may feel like we're flying blind. But if we have God on our side to lead and guide us, we're not flying blind. We just don't have everything laid out before us that maybe we might like to feel comfortable with. Because he's always going to make that way so that we can be successful and we can be worshiping him along the way and bring others to him as well. Hallelujah. Well, I said I wanted to dig a little deeper. Go to the book of Luke chapter 13. And I want to read a couple scriptures there. When things were not going so well. Luke 13, verse number 6. I want to read that just a minute in your hearing. And he also spake this parable. He says, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. And he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down, and why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I dig all around about it and dig and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. But what I want to focus on is what the dresser of the vineyard wanted him to do first. Before you cast anything away or forget about anything, I want you to try it one more time. I want to try it one more time. Let me work around it. Let me do everything I can to try to make it a productive tree. Because it has value if I can bring it back to life. You know, God wants us all to be alive. God wants us all to understand that even though it may look dead, until it's cut down, it still has opportunity. So you want to take advantage of that. And if you have things in your life tonight that you find that, man, this is not working out right, well, talk to God about it and then try to do what will bring it back if you can. You know, if you can, there comes a time when what's going to happen. You know, God's not going to be patient with us forever. There'll come a time whenever he's going to say, that's enough. Seen it happen time and time again. Didn't matter how tall, how big you were, how small you were, how young you were, or how old you were. When God says enough, guess what? It's going to be enough. Hallelujah. So God does have a way, if we will allow him to dig around us and to help us to do better. Dig a little deeper sometimes? Yes, that's what it's going to take. In the Gospels, there's three different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all talk about the parable of the sower. The sower's always been interesting to me because of the way it's worded. So tonight I want to dwell on that just a little bit because I think there's some things that hopefully we can glean from that will help us to understand, hey, we need to make sure that we're listening and paying attention to what God's saying. You know, it's interesting. Well, let's just go ahead and let's read his, read the Lord's explanation. All three of them, he lays out the parable to anybody and everybody that will listen. Okay, and then after that, his disciple says, hey, you know, I mean, it sounded pretty good whenever he just told everybody, but he said, hey, what's this really mean? What was really mean? And so then he goes into a little more detail in what he's trying to explain to them. And this one I'm going to focus on through tonight is going to be the book of Mark in the Mark 4. Yeah. Mark chapter 4. And we're going to go down to verse number 14. Mark 4 and 14. Okay. And he says, okay, the sower soweth the word. The seed is the word of God. Well, that's no surprise to any of us. But you know what was surprising? What can you tell me about the sower himself? It doesn't say anything about him. It's just indiscriminate. There's nothing to differentiate him from anybody else. It just says, the sower went forth to sow. And so, anybody ever broadcast seed? Just go along and just kind of throw it. Or ever maybe you used to sow clover with a little bag in your little box and you turn the crank and... No, you haven't. Okay. Okay, good. I'm not that old. I figured there's still one around there. But he went along and he sowed the seed. Okay. Like I said, he didn't say anything about what he did. He just sowed. He didn't prepare anything. He didn't do anything but just sow the seed. That's his only job. Then it says in verse number 15, those are they by the wayside when the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. You know, there's people that hear us talk about the Word of God, and it's almost like You don't even get your mouth closed, and already they're turned off and walking away from you or saying something derogatory. The devil has come along and stole that word. It's like they don't have anything feeling toward it. It didn't capture anything. And I'm thinking about that. And I thought, you know, there's times when I've heard somebody speaking the word of God that maybe I wasn't too open and receptive to it. Maybe I wasn't what was like this. You know, I didn't turn away from God, but, you know, maybe I didn't think about that word the way that I should have. Maybe there was something in there that I should have been paying attention to. Remember, an old preacher said, I've never heard a message that I haven't learned something from. He said, maybe I didn't want to preach like that, but, you know, he learned something. But there may be something in it that, you know, you don't want to just cast it away because it didn't tickle your senses in some way, shape, or form. The next one we go along and says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Don't you like to hear preaching or reading or something to come out of the word of God that really excites you? I like that. I can hold on to that. That has some meaning. That's me. I'm going to take that. Uh-huh. Yeah. How much stuff have you taken in from the word of the Lord that you really enjoyed at the time being, but somehow down the road, there was something about that that just didn't feel quite so good. Says this is the stony ones. These are the hard-hearted ones. These are the ones that have a little bit too much of self maybe in their life, that won't allow the Lord to minister to them and mold them exactly like he'd want to, because they have this own self-worth or self-feeling of meaning that allows them to not let that word really kindle and get in deep, good and deep. Says, and they have no root in themselves. Okay, they don't have that root. They haven't dug down deep to let that word really get inside of them and to be something to them themselves. And so endure for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Wow. You know, it's a shame when things go along in your life that the word of the Lord has thrilled you at one time, but maybe after time the word doesn't seem to have that same effect because it's not new and fresh. Maybe it's something that you've heard time and time again. How about here in Acts 2:38? Do we still get as excited about it as we did the first time? Yeah, I probably still do because the first time I went, what's all that mean? You know, because I hadn't heard it before we started the church. But then as I began to understand the word of the Lord and it did find a place, then it began to have real meaning to us. Aren't you ready to celebrate Pentecost all over again? Amen. Hallelujah. It's coming up and we're going to celebrate again. Hallelujah. All right, let's continue reading. Next verse says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, which as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Well, you know, there are times when we come to church that we may not be in a proper state of mind. You ever come to church and you had this concern? Maybe there's trouble in the home. Maybe there's trouble at work. Maybe you're a farmer and you got 1,000 acres of plant yet, and it's still all in the storage containers instead of out in the fields like it should be. I remember one year, I think they had the plumbing done almost by the 1st of May. Here it is almost the end of the May, and some of them haven't even got started yet. Yeah, would that be a worry to me if I was a farmer? Yeah, you know, but I can let that trouble or let that issue or 1,000 other issues that we may be facing in our minds that keeps us from actually coming into the house of God and being able to reach out and to grasp the things that God has tried to tell, especially for me. You know, the bigger your problem is, the bigger your concern is, the more God is going to be the one to take care of it in the first place. Hallelujah. So we might as well come in here and make up our mind. Hey, listen, I want to worship God. I want to be open to God, whatever he has to share with me tonight or today or whenever it is. And then let that word work a work within us. You know, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Man, have I appreciated that from the Lord over the years. You know, when things happen that they're far out of my control, something that may be close, and I think, man, it's got to work out this way. It's got to work out this way. It didn't work out that way. And yet God can give you a peace passeth all understanding. All right? It's come, it's gone, it's done. You're not going to do anything about it now. You might as well say, dear Lord God Almighty, Lord, I thank you for your mercy, your kindness, and your goodness. I thank you for this peace that you have brought to me that'll help me through this trial of mine. And then go on your way and see how doors God will open on it where that you thought everything was closed up to you. Because he's that kind of God. But you've got to be willing. You've got to be willing to say, oh, Lord, here I am. I need you. I don't know what to do, Lord. I don't know how to get around this or get through it, whatever. And then let the Lord work that work that will bring you on to victory. Hallelujah. Verse number 20 is the good one. 25%. This is the last one, but it is a good one, right? This is a good one. And these are they which are sown on good ground, which hear the word of the Lord and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Good ground. Good ground brought forth fruit. In Luke 8 and 15, it talks about being of an honest and a good heart. That's the kind of ground they had. And another part of it says, and with patience. Sometimes you got to wait on the Lord to see everything that's going to take place. Sometimes a day may look like it's a big old zero, but you don't know what that day does for tomorrow and tomorrow's after it either. Hallelujah. Dallas and them are going to have 50 years together here. Is it yet to come? It hasn't reached yet. When? It's in June. I know the thing. Okay. All right, 50 years. Okay. How do you get to 50 years together? Ah. All right, who's been married 50 years or more? You don't know how to get there yet. You're still working on some of that, huh? I've been blessed with a wife for 52 years. Plus, yes. She's the one that helped me get to where I am today, I can guarantee you. I won't tell you where it'd be otherwise because I really don't know, but. Well, the Lord would be the only one that would know that for sure anyhow. But I wouldn't be in church today probably if it wasn't for her. Wouldn't be a lot of things because of her. But 52 years, that's a long time to spend with one person. Especially in the way the world is today. But I think the Lord reminded her with him all things were possible. So. And he is. Okay. But it says the good soil. Now, let's talk about the soil for just a minute. Up here we have what kind of soil? Do we have rocky soil? You ever drive down the road and see out there next to the corner fence post a lot of stones laying around? Yeah. We got any sandy soil? Which is about the opposite. Anybody ever work in muck? Oh, goodness. We had a corner of one field that had muck in it. I think you had 3 days a year that you could really work that ground. Either it was as slick can be, and you couldn't go across and do anything. One year we plowed it when it was kind of like that, and I tell you, almost took a jackhammer to break that ground up afterwards. Go across that with a tractor and a disc, and that tractor just up bouncing around. The disc back here is supposed to cut it up and make it nice and smooth. It's going to be ding, 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 ding. It was terrible. Okay. Now, you don't want to be like muck, do you? Yeah. I don't want to be like stony ground. I want to have a heart that God can mold and shape and move, you know. It'd be nice if he could do it 24/7, but I'm afraid I'm not quite that pliable yet. We can have sandy ground, we can have hard ground, we can have soft ground, we can have loose ground. In all this parable, remember, the sower is just doing what? God opens up the door to everyone. Okay? He wants everyone to hear and to come and to serve him. But not everyone will they? In Romans 2 and 11 says, for there is no respect of persons with God. He will open up the door. He will sow that seed. Even though your heart is hardened, even though it's been trampled and stolen away by the devil time and time again, even though those thorns have taken that word and strangled it out of your life, yet he's still what? Sowing the seed. Maybe this time they'll find some good soil and it will grow and it will multiply. You know, who determines what kind of soil that you are? That part's up to us. You and I get to make that decision. Are we going to, and I'm just going to use coming to church as an example. Coming to church does not save you, but it does bring you into a place where you can worship with others of like faith, where you can hear the preaching of the word of the Lord, where you can pray together if you have needs. Okay, so it's a great place, but just coming here and sitting in these pews will not get the job done. You can stand, you can have somebody come up here and he can be a hellfire preacher. You all know what that is, right? Remember that? Man, I tell you, I've seen some screech so loud I need to do that because I could understand them because it was a little too much. I've had others that get up here and as deadpan as they could. Well, and these, are they? Likewise. I had too much emotion in that. Let me take some of that out. No. You get the idea. Okay. You sit in classes like that, right? I mean, I've been in places where people spoke like that, and you know, it's about as exciting as watching water drip. You know, it's a shame, even if they've got great content. You know, it's really hard to pull something good out of it whenever it's like that. But you know, each and every one of us, every time we come together, we've got to allow God the opportunity to use those times even to speak to us. Hallelujah. Even though it may be tough, but you know, sometimes life is tough. Sometimes life can be very tough. You know, how many enjoy camp meetings? It's been mentioned that those are coming up. Camp meetings, conferences. Special types of services, man, where it just seems like you better hold on to your seat because there's going to be people climbing the walls, hanging from the chandeliers. Those are services that are exciting. But you know, it talks about those falling on a rocky soil. You know, those people were excited. They were really, hey, this is great. You walk out the door and 2 days later ask them what was going on. Yeah, I don't know what happened, but it was good. And there are people that do come in and feel the touch of God like that. And man, they're moved and they want to come up there and they want to try to do right. But as soon as they walk out those doors, it's like the devil snatches all that from them. Don't be one of them. Don't allow the devil to snatch from you those good things that God has given to you and promised you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I'm about done. Everybody say, praise the Lord. All right, you're a good, obedient group. How prepared are you when you come to service? I think I've already asked that question. Colossians 1 and 23. I'm going to close with that. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature under the sun, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. What do we have to do? We've got to continue in the faith that we have been shown and given by the Lord Himself. Because every one of us receives a measure of faith. What you do with that faith now is up to you and I to take it and to make something valuable out of it. Because it says if we have faith as of a... I don't know where I've ever seen a mustard seed. I understand it's extremely tiny. I thought clover seed was tiny, but apparently it's smaller than that. But it says if you had just that much, you don't take a whole lot. You just got to use what you've got. So let's dig a little deeper in our lives when we come to service or whenever we get down to pray. I don't know about you, but these times are troublesome to me. You can look out and going on what's going on in the world. What's going on in our nation? What's going on in the states? What's going on in our community? What's going on all around about us? There's all kinds of issues and problems and cares that can weigh us down. I'll tell you what, you get up and pray in the morning and tell me how good that goes. I don't know about you. The other morning I got down to pray and when I got ready to get back up, wait a minute. I had 20 things to get back up for. I almost didn't get through the prayer time. Why? It's because of the world we're living in. There's all kinds of things to try to capture your and my attention and to keep us from becoming what God really wants us to be. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Because He is all powerful, He has all knowledge, and is able to do all things. And everything that God does, He does well. Hallelujah. God bless you. Would you stand with me tonight? Thank each of you for being so attentive. I do pray that we will help and encourage one another. We will strengthen one another with our words and actions and deeds. And you can always smile at somebody. That always helps out a little bit. Because I tell you what, we do know the Lord of Lords. We know that King of Kings. We know the one that has the world in the palm of His hands.